Now the nation focuses its TV eye on the trend of developments at the Federal Communications Commission, as they may affect the future of several developing television systems. What will happen to pay TV and cable TV under the new FCC rules, and what effect on the regular licensed channels? For some background, we turn to Richard K. Doan, columnist for TV Guide and former TV critic for the Herald Tribune. Dick, we've been reading about all of these systems, cable TV, CATV, and pay TV, and what the FCC has done. Just what is cable TV versus pay TV, in case someone is totally unfamiliar with these terms?
Well, Mitch, cable TV is wired TV or community antenna TV, which is brought into the home on a wire. It started out as a device for bringing television into areas that were remote to stations who couldn't get areas that couldn't get television at all.
They built a big antenna in those areas.
Put an antenna out on a hilltop to pick up the signal, and then they piped it in. Nowadays, it has become a system that's being used even in metropolitan areas like New York to improve people's picture quality, so that here in New York, for example, many people have difficulty getting Channel 13, other New York channels, because of the man-made structures here. They get ghosts, they get bad pictures, so cable is being installed to give them studio quality pictures. Then it is also giving them additional programming, as we'll probably get into.
Well, now, the old term pay TV was something we heard a number of years ago before the concept of cable or community antenna television was discussed much.
Right.
Whatever happened to the old pay TV plan, the idea that the homeowner would pay a fee and get a special service into his home?
Well, pay TV was initially conceived of as a service that would be either piped over wires, as it was tried in California, or over the air in a coded and scrambled signal, which would be decoded at the home.
You'd buy an unscrambler.
You'd buy a decoder.
Decoder.
Or it's installed in your home.
Attach it to your set, and
it unscrambles the signal. And every time you turn on your set and watch a program from the pay TV station, it registers on this decoder that you've watched this program, and then you're billed at the end of the month for $1, $1.50, $2 for watching this program.
Now, did this ever get started very much?
It was experimented with in Hartford, and still is underway up there on an experimental basis. Has been since 1961. It's been no success at all. I read just today that there's only a 1% penetration of the homes in Hartford. And so it has made no great impact at all.
Well, now, as you said, with the development of the cable TV, which is for the metropolitan areas and the large community antennas out of town, not only can they feed all of the regular channels, commercial and non-commercial, but they will have channels available to feed other services. And
right.
Here's where our whole issue comes up this
right.
evening.
It should be pointed out, Mitch, for those who don't know, that those who have cable TV service generally play a flat fee of $5 or $6 a month for that service. For that, they get all the over-the-air channels. Here in New York City, for example, they get the seven VHF stations and the four UHF stations, and then they may get other services too on other channels.
Well, now, what other services are possible on other channels, and what have the new FCC regulations made possible for the immediate future?
Well, now, you see what's in use now commonly is a cable that will transmit 12 channels. So if a city has only five on-the-air TV stations for the cable system to pick up, that leaves them seven channels that they can use for other purposes.
That's the great majority of the country, of course.
That's right.
New York being
so,
the exception.
Some of these systems have started doing their own programming. They're going out with television cameras and covering town council meetings and school board meetings, football games, graduation exercises, all sorts of things. They're doing some studio programming, games, children's shows, and things like that.
Now, this is an inducement to get a subscriber to buy the service.
That's right.
No one's paying for it other than out of the fee that comes back from the subscriber in this
case.
That's
right.
Well, what has the FCC said in the last week that seems to have upset and changed things as much as some say?
Well, it's a very, very complex subject, Mitch, as you can gather from reading the papers, and I hope we can shed a little light on it in the time we have. I've been checking on all aspects of this thing for the last several days, And you can get all kinds of opinions on what the impact of this is. But today, for example, I talked with Irving Kahn, the president of Teleprompter, and with Charles Dolan, the president of Manhattan Cable, who are the two primary CATV operators here in New York City. And they say that these proposed rulings by the FCC are not going to affect their operations here at all. In fact, Mr. Dolan said today that he was elated over the rulings because the FCC had come out clearly in favor of CATV systems doing programming of their own. And this has been an issue here in New York, as you know. The Board of Estimate in New York, which has franchised these systems, has been asked to decide whether they should be allowed to do programming. And here again, you have a local entity.
Yes, I was wondering how, without taking much time, how the local entity had the authority to get into what would seem to be a matter for the FCC.
There is an apparent conflict, and the FCC has been given authority over CATV by the Supreme Court in just a few months ago. And on the other hand, all of these CATV systems are being franchised by local municipalities to operate within their municipalities. So you do have some overlapping and dual jurisdictions. But at this time, in New York City and in many other places, the local municipalities have not permitted these CATV systems to do programming of their own. They've only said you can go out and pick up the over-the-air stations and pipe them into your subscribers.
Now, in the FCC ruling the past week, isn't it implied that in addition to doing their own programming on open channels that may exist, that these CATV organizations or cable organizations could provide commercial messages? Is this a possibility that they could actually, in essence, start their own stations?
The FCC says it has not decided whether to allow commercials or not. One expert I talked to today said that they read into what the FCC had said that they were not going to permit commercials on CATV systems on their own programs. Now, the FCC has, though, in the case of a CATV system in North Carolina, told them they could put on commercials as well as their own programming. So. Who knows? It could happen, could not happen.
Well, let me just
probably
ask you one question that springs from that, and that is of interest to all in public television. And your interpretation, if a foundation were to go to a cable television organization and say, we're going to give you a grant to do some work to help you along, would this be acceptable under the FCC regulations? Could the owner of a cable TV franchise accept income other than that would come from his subscribers?
Well, that's indicated in the ruling that was handed down Friday, Mitch. The FCC indicated that if these proposed rules were adopted, that they would restrict CATV systems to one channel of programming of their own, and that the other channels that they had available were to be made available as a common carrier, so that if a system in a certain community had three channels beyond the on-the-air channels and the channel they were going to program themselves, they would have to make this available to outside producers or organizations or foundations to produce whatever they want to.
So the FCC implies that the cable TV operator could franchise these additional channels to other parties?
Lease them out,
and they could use them at will, but not necessarily with commercials.
No. Right.
But the cable TV operator is not restricted in his source of income to the subscriber at home.
No, he isn't.
He can get. What about pay TV? Now, this was raised. It seemed to me that this is pay TV.
It is, in a form, Mitch. But curiously enough, as you probably read, the FCC has belatedly announced, at the same time they announced the CATV rulings, that they were going to authorize a nationwide system of pay TV. Now, this is an absolutely dead duck, you know. Nobody in the industry that I know of believes that pay television is going anywhere. And why the FCC should come along at this late date and authorize pay TV is a mystery to everybody I've talked to. And I can't imagine that anything is going to happen as a result of it. Not only because it would take millions and millions of dollars for the hardware to set up pay TV systems, But because the programming isn't available, the thing that was proven in Hartford in this pay TV experiment up there was that people tend to watch the same things on pay TV and pay for them that they watch on free TV. They like best movies and sports. And the system in Hartford no longer can program first-class movies because the networks have gobbled them all up, you see, on free TV. And they can't get sports events because the commercial networks have sewed up all the big sports events.
As Jack Gould, the TV columnist of New York Times, wrote, this looks as if it's a decision that will keep broadcast lawyers busy for generations to come.
I think there'll be a rash of lawsuits and court challenges and all sorts of things.
Well, the commercial broadcaster who values his franchise, and indeed it is very valuable, is not going to be happy with this decision, is he?
No, I'm sure he isn't. But on the other hand, they have been getting into CATV themselves, many of them, you know.
And this is not a conflict of interest.
And there is a cross-ownership prohibition in these proposed rules that might require the broadcasters to divest themselves of their CATV interests, and I think they'll fight that too, you see.
Well, for those in the New York area that have 7 and 4, 7 U's and 4 V's, this only leaves one channel open in the configuration you outlined, so that the benefits or the alteration of the system here would be minimal, wouldn't it?
That's right.
But yes, in other parts of the country where there may only be 3, 4, 5, or 6, so this could have a substantial impact?
It could. For the time being, it appears that it's going to somewhat restrict the CATV systems in smaller markets in going out and importing signals from distant cities, so that they may be limited in the number of outside channels that they can bring in. Here it's not a problem because you've got so much choice, so many signals right in New York City. But you can envision that in a city where there are, say, only 4 stations, they may only have 4 stations on the CATV system for a time, until certain problems of copyright are settled.
Yes. That's a whole new area. What rights they have to distribute what to what areas of the country that they've paid for limited areas. Let me just ask you briefly in conclusion, you've covered the broadcast business for a long time. How long do you think all this is going to take to shake down before it's clear where this is all going?
Well, it's going to take it longer now, I guess, because they have thrown certain roadblocks up, and Congress is going to get into the act. Perhaps it'll be argued, many of these points will be argued in the courts. And I would suppose, Mitch, that maybe it'll be 3 to 5 years before it's kind of ironed out. But the best guesses that I get are still that we're going to wind up a country wired for TV and not with over the air.
Well, Dick, don't come back and give us progress reports from time to time on this most interesting and complex
subject.
Thank you.